You know, it's lovely to have a break. I always appreciated that invitation that Jesus gave his disciples back then, come apart with me. Because you need to take time to come apart with the Lord before you come apart without the Lord. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we need a break in order that we may not be broken. And the Lord is here for us to find our rest in him this morning. And I hope that we will. I hope we'll find our encouragement in him, our rest in him, our life in all of its fullness and purpose in him. So I've simply entitled the talk that comes from the passage that Paul's just read to us this morning, A Job for All. Because I want to talk about something that's for all of us that I think as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ just cannot be bettered. Now, one of the things that Kathy and I did on our holiday on the Isle of Wight was to go to the Garlic Festival. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Garlic Festival. It's not because I like garlic or I'm that scared of vampires, really. But we went to the Garlic Festival because it was a good, fun day out with a lot of things to do and a lot of things to see. And yet, we no sooner paid to go in, and the very first sign that I saw, big and bold in front of me, was this: Before you die. I didn't know it was going to be that dangerous, to be honest, going into the Garlic Festival, but that was what I read. Before you die. And actually, of course, what it was a local hospice that was trying to garner support for its care and ministry, so that they were encouraging people to come along and write some of the things that they would like to do before they died on their sign, take a leaflet and sign up to give life to those that didn't have too much of it left to live. And most of the things that were on the sign were pretty non-original bucket list type things. You know, get married, have children, make a parachute jump, visit the Taj Mahal, you know, those kind of things. Have your favourite sports team win something. It was quite popular. And yet, right at the bottom of this long list of things that various people had written that kind of struck a note with me, because it seemed to be written in quite a young hand too, was this particular statement. What to do before you die? To help someone else live better. It was written small, and as I say, it looked like it was a young hand, but then if you've seen my handwriting, you can't read too much into that. But it was just so different than anything else that had been on that lift. And it caused me to think, well, Sean, what do you want to live devoting your life to? What am I going to give my life to? What is there for me to do? I mean, for some people, they have the ability, don't they, to calm things down and bring about peace in a demanding and tension-filled situation. And I think that's a great thing to do, and it's a wonderful gift to have, but not all of us are diplomats, are we? Some of us are more gifted at opening our mouths and putting our foot right in it. I don't want to see a show of hands, but we know who you are. And then there's people with brains and skills and a heart who invest their lives in healing other people or finding cures for sicknesses that people have got. But not all of us are doctors. Some of us can't stand the sight of blood, can we? Especially not our own. And then there are those too, I thought about, with the means and the philanthropic desire to back much needed research and pay for much fruitful pioneer programs to get underway. But not all of us have got that deep a pocket. And yet, every true disciple of Jesus Christ, no matter what we can do or what we can't do with the gifts and abilities and opportunities that our own lives afford to us, the one thing that we can do, the one thing that we would surely want to be desiring to do, and the one thing that betters anything that we could ever do, what I'm calling this morning a job for all, is simply to go out in our daily walk through the life that we have and to joyfully, faithfully, sensitively, and sacrificially bring people to Jesus. So if I can put the whole talk, if you can, I don't know where the thing is here, but can you just move it along a couple there, Dave? for me. The next one. If I can put the whole talk into one sentence for us this morning, in what I like to call, you remember, a thought to treasure, here it is. Put it up a few times. I hope you'll take this to heart, if nothing else. Thanks, Paul. All disciples of Jesus are to bring all people by all means and at all costs to Jesus. That's not rocket science. But it's something that I don't know. I want to be fully devoted in my life and in my ministry and in my home to do. And it's a job for all. And it was certainly the case, wasn't it, for the four men who came carrying their paralyzed friend to Jesus when they heard that he was back in Capernaum and they knew the house in which he was ministering then. I mean, is there anything greater that you can think to do, bringing Jesus to people and people to Jesus? That's what the early Christians were willing to die for. It's what the very church exists for. And it's what every disciple ought to be praying and believing God for. I'm grateful for a lot of things in my life. And when Jen opened up the service to turn to the person next to you, which for me was Paul, so we tried to do it in sign language rather than shout, there are lots of things that came to mind. But throughout the whole of my life, there are things I'm grateful for. My parents who gave me a stable home. My theological training college that turned a weak, insecure faith into a true, strong, biblical one. A fellowship like this at Shirley Baptist that brings encouragement and heart to what I want to do. And yet for all the things that I'm grateful for, the one I'm most grateful for at a human level is the person I remember who brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ many years ago, and then let the Lord Jesus Christ bring to me his forgiveness, his healing, his hope, and his help in turn. I think it's a great thing to do, and I just want to kind of draw three quick things out of the passage that I hope will give us a heart to want to do it too. The first thing I want you to notice here is what I'm going to kind of underline as difficulties expected. Because it's not an easy thing to do, particularly now, to bring people to Jesus. It wasn't then, of course not. We see it here. There's a lot of things that to overcome. And it's not now. But if every time we encounter a difficulty in our devotion to want to bring people to Jesus, and we immediately give up, who on earth is ever going to come? I wouldn't have come. And many of you here wouldn't have done either. And certainly not the man in the story, because we're told in verse 3, he was a paralytic. So he couldn't get himself there, could he? Even if he wanted to, he couldn't. He was lame. He couldn't walk. And so, what do we learn from that? We learn that in the difficulties expected, if we're going to fulfill this passion of our heart this morning, there is some carrying that is needed. That's interesting. I had a personal insight and visual display of this during my recent time at the start of August with our twin church in the Ukraine. I was over there to speak at a number of events, but particularly the baptismal service by a lake. And there were hundreds of people there. But the lady that I remember the most was the one that was carried forward at the end of the message who couldn't walk. Just like the man in the story here, could not walk, brought forward at the end of the service to give her own heart and her own life to the Lord Jesus Christ and want to be baptized. And it's a wonderful thing, because she couldn't have got to that meeting unless somebody had brought her there. This man couldn't have got to Jesus unless these four guys had carried him there. And both that woman and that man are a picture for all of us who outside of Christ are never going to get to Christ unless those who know and love him already actually bring us to him. Is there anything better? I can't convert a single soul, but I can bring them to the Christ who can. I can't make a huge difference in anybody's life, but I can bring them to the Christ whom to know is life itself. What a ministry. What an opportunity. And what a privilege. But if we're going to do it, there is some carrying that is necessary Isn't that true? That's one of the difficulties that we need to expect. And we ought not to be surprised when those who've got a disability don't always come to the Lord. They actually use that as an excuse to run from the Lord. So what are we going to do? Well, listen, we carry them in our hearts. And we love them. We don't judge them. We don't judge them. We love them. We carry them in our hearts. And we carry them with patience. And we carry them with long suffering. It can be quite a long journey to bring somebody from where they are, with what they're going through, with the questions they've got, with the disabilities that they're struggling with the bad experiences that they may have had. It can be quite a long journey to bring them from there to where the Lord is. But we carry them all the way, don't we? With patience and long suffering, we carry them in our need, and we carry them with our care, and we carry them in their sin to where the Saviour is. Have we done any carrying lately? Not everybody I know is limited in their body. Not everybody I know is troubled in their mind or stressed in their spirit, but there are many people I know who need bringing to Jesus for the one thing that He alone can bring them: forgiveness. Amen? What a privilege. It's our greatest need to be forgiven. And these men brought their friend to Jesus. They were only looking for healing. But Jesus will never give us less than the very best that He knows we need. And He got forgiveness. Maybe you've come this morning, you weren't looking to be forgiven. You've just come looking to see if you can make it through to 12 o'clock without falling asleep. I don't know if that's the height of your ambition or not, but it doesn't matter to me what you're here for or who you've come looking for. You know, I used to go to church looking for a wife. You know, looking for a bit of... It doesn't matter to me how you're here, but now you're here. Whatever you were looking for, God is here to bless you with much more than you might have come looking for. Even if that was healing, there's more in His forgiveness. Give Him a razor. You remember that old advert, Gillette? The best a man can get. Bring them to Jesus. He's the best anyone can get. You carry them in your intercession. You pray for them. You carry them through your conversation. You share with them. You carry them through invitation. You bring them here. And we're going to have through September, third week in September, third week in October and November, we're going to have three particular guest services with an opportunity to bring people through the stretcher, through the mat that is the church, to Jesus. I bring them to church. I want to bring them to Jesus. But the church, our meeting together, our service together, our life together ought to be the mat that can carry somebody to the very place where they can receive the forgiveness of God. We got to carry them there. Amen? So look out for that. Those ifs in life that we're going to look at in those services. So there was some carrying that needed to be done, because all disciples of Jesus are to bring all people by all means and at all costs to Him. But there was also something else here, wasn't there? Not just carrying that was needed. I think the next one. Where's that going? That's not going anywhere, is it? That's it. Crowd nuisance. Crowds can be a bit of a nuisance at times, can't they? You see, if you think about it here in this story, even if this man could have got up, he couldn't have gotten in, could he? For as verse 2 says, and we read it there, so many gathered to see and hear Jesus. Oh, that's a great thing, isn't it? When people gather to see and hear Jesus, that there was no room left, not even outside the door. The place was packed. Some of you who travel to work on the tube, you know what he's talking about, don't you? Some of you have tried to eat an ice cream at the beach and suddenly the wasps appear from everywhere. You know what he's talking about. Place was packed. It's like a church when somebody comes to preach with a view. It's amazing. The place is packed. And yet this crowd, even if it was unintentional, this crowd was keeping at least one person from Jesus. I mean, crowds can do that, can't they? They can keep people from Jesus. They can keep people from bringing people to Jesus. You think of the crowd of popular opinion. That can be a crowd that is very hard to push through, don't you find? Or the crowd of nagging doubts. That can be a crowd that's very hard to push past. Or a crowd of previous failure. You've tried before, and that can be a crowd that's hard to push off, or a crowd of other things to do, which can be hard to push away, or a crowd of bad experience that you may have had in a church or with another Christian, that's hard to push back from, or a crowd of personal tastes where our own daily wants trump the needs of another's eternal soul, and that can be a very hard crowd to push to the side. And whether we like it or not, crowds can get in the way of bringing people to Jesus. And sadly, I'm going to be honest, we as Christians are our own worst enemies. You know, back in 2011, when I was working in Australia for a period of time, the one thing that I really didn't take to in Australia was the television. I didn't have a lot of time to watch the television, but if you think the television's bad in this country, particularly on ITV with the adverts, you ought to go and live in Australia. They drive you mad. You get about 2 minutes of programme, then about 10 minutes of adverts. And some of them are pretty grim. And this was one particular advert that was just awful. And it was trying to sell back relief treatment. And the advert was just really rough and really naff. And of course, that was the intention of the company who were trying to sell the product. Because right at the end of the advert, this person comes on who's clearly annoyed and frustrated with the awfulness of the advert, looks into the camera and says to the company, "I hate your commercial, but I love your product." That's the whole point of it. And sometimes, you know, as Christians and as churches, the people that we want to bring to Jesus, they look at them and say, "I hate the commercial, but we want to get them to the product." Isn't that true? You know, I feel sorry for people who've had a bad experience of church, or maybe followed a poor example of Christ with somebody who confessed to be a follower of Jesus. And I wish that the commercial was better for you. I know a lot of churches, and I know a lot of people who represent the Lord wonderfully well. And if that's your experience, you hate the commercial, I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm simply here to bring you to Jesus and say, even when you spot the faults and failings in me, and you spot the faults and failings in the fellowship that I pastor, and if you look hard enough, you'll find them, because they're there if you're looking for them, believe you me. Nonetheless, I'm not inviting you to come to me. I'm not even inviting you to come to church in that sense. Just come to Jesus. Even if you hate the commercial, I tell you what, there's nothing about Jesus not to love. Love the product. Amen? So there's difficulty expected here. Yeah, there's something to carry. There's a crowd nuisance. But also, you know, in verse 6, we've got this criticism non-stop too. Some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this man talk like that? He's blaspheming." It kind of saddens me that those who profess to know God the best here loved him the least. Their heart was not for the person who needed what Christ could do for them. Their heart was for the way he was going to do it that might offend them. You ever discovered that? You know? Isn't that sad? We get more taken up with the way we don't want it done than with what God is doing in somebody else's life. Please, God help us if that's our attitude. Yet you got the criticism non-stop. And it was there then, it's here today. And that's why we want people to come to Jesus, not our church custom, not our church culture. And if I've got to change my attitude and approach to make sure that I don't block somebody's path to salvation, then I've got to step out of my way and let God have his way. Amen? So there are difficulties. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to bring people to Jesus. You know, you've got to carry them. It'll be a long journey. There's many things, many crowds to get in the way. And there's many criticisms that you're going to face. If you want to bring somebody to Jesus, somebody somewhere is going to tell you you're doing it the wrong way, at the wrong time, and for the wrong reason. Believe you me, but don't get disheartened. Don't get discouraged. Do what these men went on to do. They had a determination. Where are we going here? This is a... No, see, it's gone wrong. That's it. Determination expended. Look at what it says in verse 4. Since they could, and I put the words up there, since they could not get him to Jesus, because, you know, difficulties were in the way, okay? Because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, a bit of effort and work going in here, after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. So you get a sense of their determination, that effort that's expended to bring this friend of theirs to the Lord Jesus. We're not told who they are. Isn't that amazing? We're not given their names. Jesus would have known who they were. And I tell you what, the man that they brought to Jesus would never have forgotten who he was. You don't forget the person who brings you to Christ, do you? I hope you don't. And if you can't think of the people that brought you to Christ, then come now. There's an effort here. They were concerned enough to bring him. They were concerned enough to bring him. They carried him, but he was a load that they wanted to bear. We got that kind of concern. I was reading this week about a tourist who was on his way to London. And on his way to London, he came to a fork in the road, and the fork in the road stumped him because there was no sign at that fork in the road telling him in which direction London actually was. And there was a young lad standing by the side of that sign, and the man said to him, "Hey kid," he said, "does it matter which road I take to get to London?" And the boy said, "Not to me, it doesn't." That's not true of these four men trying to get their friend to Jesus. That man mattered to him. And they're going to do everything they could to get him there because it did matter to them. They had a concern that would not allow them to give up when the difficulties came across their path. And maybe there's someone right now who needs us not to give up, because they need to get to Jesus. Maybe. Are we determined to expend enough energy in praying for them, helping them, sharing with them, so they can be brought to the one who is salvation itself? If we are saved here in Christ this morning, it's because somebody brought us and was concerned enough to bring us. Are we concerned enough to bring others? They were concerned, but they were combined enough to bring him too. They didn't do it alone, did they? They couldn't have done it alone. We're told in verse 3, it took four men to come together, to combine, to bring this one man to Jesus. And if any one of them had let go of the corner of the mat that this man was lying on, he'd never have got there because he'd have just tumbled out. You don't need me to give you the picture. It's there in your mind, isn't it? They needed to combine to do it. And I think in the job that's for all, with the difficulties that we can expect, we ought to be determined enough to come together hand in hand, heart in heart, to do what we can together to bring people to Jesus. Don't you think so? I do. There are many people that I hope will be in heaven because this church combined together to make it their mission to reach out to those who are lost without Christ. We need to be combined. Combined in our worship, combined in our work, combined in our witness. And I often wonder how many more people would be saved if we actually came together as a fellowship. We get one opportunity in the week, 1 hour and a half on a Sunday morning where we can all come together. And I think our testimony of coming together is a means of bringing people to the place where they can find life in Christ too. Not alone, there's different stretches. And I think in a world that neglects Christ and doesn't want Christ, I think one of the biggest witnesses that we can have today, for those of us who do know him and love him, is at least to be together at least once a week to worship and witness for him. And more than that, the other thing here, they were consumed enough to bring him. They just would not let it go, would they? When they couldn't get him through the door, they let him down through the roof. because they would save the man at any cost. They weren't concerned about the criticism. I think if somebody was opening up this roof, you know, to do something and we weren't expecting it, you know, I think the first question was, who's going to pay for that? You know, what on earth are they doing? They weren't concerned about that. They didn't care so much about what people thought. They were just determined to do what they needed to do at whatever cost to do it, to get their friend to Christ. That's why I say all disciples of Jesus are to bring all people by all means and at all costs to Jesus. And they made this opening in the roof. They might move on. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. Now, because they didn't need a ladder, because on the outside of the houses there were steps up to the top of the roof. So, you know, it wasn't as difficult as it might be for somebody to get up the top here. But it was their creativity, you know, to do that. You know, to think outside of the box, you know, to get their friend to Jesus, that impresses me and certainly impressed the Lord Jesus, because the faith to do that was something that he commented on. I mean, there's many ways to bring people to Jesus, and please God that as a fellowship here we can be creative and original and open to things that we've never done before, if that's what we need to do to get people there. But it's only Christ that delivers what they're looking for, salvation. And sometimes we can make an idol out of the way that we get people to Jesus, so that they never actually get to Jesus in the end anyway. Because it's more a style of what we do. It's more than the substance of the Saviour that we serve. Amen? Are we consumed with a heart to get people to Christ? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And it ought to be for all of us. Difficulties expected, determination expended. Then last of all, if you can move that one forward, Dave, as you're looking at it, because it's not coming up for me, we get this delight that's experienced. Isn't it wonderful to finish the story like this? Jesus said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. Wasn't that a delightful experience? I mean, wouldn't you be encouraged? You know, somebody came in here, couldn't walk, and then they moved out on the very mat that they'd been carried in on, and you could see it, and you could witness it, and you could be delighted by it. Here was not just a lame man getting his legs back. Here was a guilty man getting his life back. Amen? Jesus healed the man to show the scoffers that he was who he said he was, God in the flesh, with power to forgive sins. And he healed the man to show the crowd that he had that power, because every miracle of God's glory speaks a message of God's grace. He opens the eyes of the blind to remind the world he's the light that we need. He puts people back on their legs to remind us all that he can bring us back to God. He raises people from the dead to tell us that he is the resurrection and the life. When we find it in him, it's a delightful experience. Is it not? I'm not one that wants to do the unusual for the unusual's sake. I think if the door is open and you can get in, use the door. Don't come for the roof. But if you can't get in by normal routes, then I say, do whatever it takes to get the roof off, to bring people to Jesus, to get the delight of seeing Jesus go to work in somebody else's life. And how does he do it? I tell you like this, there's nothing Jesus cannot do. He heals. There's nothing Jesus doesn't know. He had the critics there, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, looking to pull him down as he was trying to pull someone up. You know? And he read the thoughts of their heart. He knows what we're thinking. If we doubt him, if we condemn him, he knows what's on our hearts. And one day the Bible says everything that we've been hiding in our heart will be uncovered and laid bare before God, to whom we give an account. Hebrews 4, verse 13. We can hide it from me, we can hide it from others, But there's nothing that's hidden within us that we can hide from God. Why would you want to hide something from God when he's done everything for you? What is it we just sung? We were far away, he came near. Bring it out into the open now, while you've got the time, before you die, rather than leave it until it's too late. And the great thing here is there's no one Jesus can't save. When they got this man through the roof, he was expecting, hoping, he'd just be able to walk again. Now he discovered in Christ, through the forgiveness that he brought, that he could actually live for the first time. Do you need forgiveness this morning? I'm not here to condemn you. So I know my own heart. I needed forgiveness. I'm here simply to say, the Lord Jesus is here. You come. That's what we're going to celebrate. Paul's going to come in a moment, and he's going to lead us in a bit of worship, reflect on what we've shared, and we're going to have bread, and we're going to have wine to remind us that God has given his greatest gift at the highest price to pay the penalty for every one of our sin. So there's not one of us here that need be lost without God, and every soul matters to him. I'll close with this. Last Father's Day, my darling daughter brought me a marker for my golf ball. As I brought it with me this morning, it's not very big, so you won't be able to see it, but you can have a look at it afterwards. It's just a little golf marker there. You know, when you're on the green, on the putting green, and you can put your marker down. And on the back of this that she gave me, it says this: to golf or not to golf? That's a silly question, Sean Sweeney. She knows what I like to do on a Monday. Well, my challenge this morning, I guess, in a sense, in a job for all who follow Jesus, if I can rephrase it, to bring people or not bring people to Jesus. Is that a silly question to me, Sean Sweeney? Is that a silly question to you? Why wouldn't you want to bless others with the very blessing that somebody made possible for you? Yes, there will be difficulties to expect. There will be a determination that needs to be expended. But thank God there's that delight to be experienced when we do. I can't bring everybody to Jesus. I can't even bring most people to Jesus. I may not even bring many people to Jesus, but I can bring some people to Jesus. And one by one, I ought to bring them to Jesus, because all disciples of Jesus are to bring all people by all means and at all costs to him. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's pray. Then Paul, you come up. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we're familiar, many of us, with this passage of scripture. That's the problem with it. We've heard it so often that it goes in one ear and go out the other. But Lord, I just pray for myself and for my fellowship here that you've called me to pastor and oversee. Give us a heart for those that need to come to you. Give us that desire to want to reach people for you, to go out of our way, to make that journey of the extra mile, to dig through whatever roof we've got to dig through, to break through whatever tradition we've got to break through, to cut through any of the criticism that we've got to cut through, just to get one or two that you've brought into our life through our place of work, through our family, through our relatives, through our church, through our hobbies, just to say to one or two, let me take you to Jesus. He can do for you what I can't, and I wouldn't want you to settle for anything less than he can give. So put it on our hearts, Lord, and equip us to do it, especially when it's difficult and we're less than determined. Bring us through to the end, where for all eternity we can praise your glory together with those that right now you've given us the opportunity to bring to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.